Octopussy. "You know what," said Major Dexter Smythe to the octopus. "You're going to have a real treat today, if I can manage it."
He had spoken aloud, and his breath had steamed up the glass of his Pirelli mask. He put his feet down to the sand beside the rock and stood up. The water reached to his armpits. He took off the mask and spat into it, rubbed the spit round the glass, rinsed it clean, and pulled the rubber band of the mask back over his head. He bent down again. The eye in the mottled brown sack was still watching him carefully from the hole in the coral, but now the tip of a single small tentacle wavered hesitatingly an inch or two out of the shadows and quested vaguely with its pink suckers uppermost. Dexter Smythe smiled with satisfaction. Given time, perhaps one more month on top of the two during which he had been chumming up with the octopus, and he would have tamed the darling. But he wasn't going to have that month. Should he take a chance today and reach down and offer his hand, instead of the expected lump of raw meat on the end of his spear, to the tentacle? Shake it by the hand, so to speak. "No, pussy," he thought. "I can't quite trust you yet. Almost certainly, other tentacles would whip out of the hole and up his arm. He only needed to be dragged down less than 2 feet. The cork valve on his mask would automatically close, and he would be suffocated inside it. Or, if he tore it off, drowned. He might get in a quick, lucky jab with his spear, but it would take more than that to kill pussy. No, perhaps later in the day. It would be rather like playing Russian roulette, and at about the same 5-to-1 odds. It might be a quick, a whimsical way out of his troubles, but not now. It would leave the interesting question unsolved, and he had promised that nice Professor Bengry at the Institute. Dexter Smythe swam leisurely off towards the reef, his eyes questing for one shape only, the squat, sinister wedge of a scorpion fish, or, as Bengry would put it, a Scorpina plumeri. Major Dexter Smythe, OBE, Royal Marines, retired, was the remains of a once brave and resourceful officer, and of a handsome man who had made easy sexual conquests all his military life, and particularly among the Wrens and Racks and ATS, who manned the communications and secretariat of the very special task force to which he had been attached at the end of his service career. Now he was 54, slightly bald, and his belly sagged in the Janssen trunks, and he had had 2 coronary thromboses. His doctor, Jimmy Greaves, who had been one of their high poker game at Queen's Club when Dexter Smythe had first come to Jamaica, had half jocularly described the later one, only a month before, as the second warning. But in his well-chosen clothes, his varicose veins out of sight, and his stomach flattened by a discreet support belt behind an immaculate cummerbund, he was still a fine figure of a man at a cocktail party or dinner on the North Shore. And it was a mystery to his friends and neighbours why, in defiance of the 2 ounces of whiskey and 10 cigarettes a day to which his doctor had rationed him, he persisted in smoking like a chimney and going to bed drunk, if amiably drunk, every night. The truth of the matter was that Dexter Smythe had arrived at the frontier of the death wish. The origins of this state of mind were many, and not all that complex. He was irretrievably tied to Jamaica, and tropical sloth had gradually riddled him, so that while outwardly he appeared a piece of fairly solid hardwood, under the varnished surface, the termites of sloth, self-indulgence, and general disgust with himself had eroded his once hard core into dust. Since the death of Mary 2 years before, he had loved no one. He wasn't even sure that he had really loved her. But he knew that, every hour of the day, he missed her love of him, and her gay, untidy, chiding, and often irritating presence. And though he ate their canapés and drank their martinis, he had nothing but contempt for the international riffraff with whom he consorted on the North Shore. He could perhaps have made friends with the soldier elements, the gentlemen farmers inland, or the plantation owners on the coast, the professional men and the politicians, but that would mean regaining some serious purpose in life, which is sloth, his spiritual axidy, prevented, and cutting down on the bottle, which he was definitely unwilling to do. So Major Smythe was bored, bored to death, and but for one factor in his life, he would long ago have swallowed the bottle of barbiturates he had easily acquired from a local doctor. The lifeline that kept him clinging to the edge of the cliff was a tenuous one. Heavy drinkers veer towards an exaggeration of their basic temperaments, the classic 4, sanguine, phlegmatic, choleric, and melancholic. The sanguine drunk goes gay to the point of hysteria and idiocy. The phlegmatic sinks into a morass of sullen gloom. The choleric is the fighting drunk of the